WNYC Studios is brought to you by ZBiotics. Seize the day after a night of drinks with ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink. ZBiotics was invented by PhD scientists to break down the byproduct of alcohol, which is most responsible for making you feel crummy the next day. Drink ZBiotics before your first drink, drink responsibly, and you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day. Try it for yourself at ZBiotics.com/WNYC and get 15% off your first order when you use WNYC at checkout. That's ZBiotics.com/WNYC and use the code WNYC at checkout for 15% off.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. So we just heard from freshman Congressman Antonio Delgado, first Democrat to represent that Hudson Valley and upstate district in a while. But remember, it's not just the House of Representatives and the federal government that flipped from red to blue in November, but the Senate and the New York state government. And there it might be even more consequential because it means New York no longer has divided government. There's a Democratic governor, and Democrats now control both houses of the legislature, unlike in D.C. And the new day began to dawn for real yesterday when the legislature quickly passed a package of historic voting reforms that include early voting for the first time in New York, early registration for teenagers before they turn 18, and more. But there are also some voting reforms that are not in this package. We'll get to that. But with these reforms, my next guest has become the most junior state senator ever to successfully sponsor a bill in New York State. He is 31-year-old freshman state senator Zellner Myrie, whose big win came on primary day last September when he defeated the incumbent Jesse Hamilton, who had been one of those so-called independent or IDC Democrats who helped to keep Republicans in control of the state Senate. The district covers parts of Brownsville, Crown Heights, East Flatbush, Gowanus, Park Slope, Prospect Heights, Prospect Lefferts Garden, South Slope, and Sunset Park. Zellner Myrie had been a lawyer and the legislative director for the New York City Council. Senator, belated congratulations and welcome to WNYC.
Thanks very much for having me, Brian.
Can you tell us first about the specific voting reform bill that you sponsored and what you think is important about the whole package of bills that passed yesterday?
Sure. I think, you know, the entire package, we're really looking to bring New York from worst to first. We have, for a long time, fancied ourselves as a progressive capital of this country, yet we've been at the bottom in voting participation and access to the ballot box. And so my bill, the early voting bill, was really a way to open up our democracy. We have folks all across the state who have work obligations and family obligations that may prevent them from voting on the 15 hours that we give them on one day, and that's not even universal throughout the entire state. So this is something that we thought, you know, with 38 other states in the country leading the way, this is we're really kind of playing catch up as it pertains to opening up our democracy.
From what I read, early voting will be limited to a pretty small number of locations and for not that long a period of time compared to some other states. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, I think varying states have varying degrees of early voting. I think what the folks who have been fighting for this for a long time were asking for at least 2 weekends, and that is included in this 10-day period. What we have is that the bill requires that there be one polling site per 50,000 registered voters. In the overwhelming majority of the counties in this state, it's about 43, that would only require one polling site. But we have left discretion to the local boards of elections. If the needs of that particular county or those districts call for more, they have the discretion to designate more polling sites.
How about in Brooklyn, where you're from? How many polling sites do you know?
So I think the Board of Elections is going to make that ultimate determination. I think that we have, you know, that is something that we will certainly be discussing. And as the bill calls for this to be instituted for the general election in November, we certainly have time to have a discussion about that.
Do I see right that you're the chair of the Senate Elections Committee?
That's right.
How'd you get that post on day one?
I think it's really credit to leader Stuart Cousins. You know, the voters sent a very clear message to the state and to our leadership that it was time for new blood and that there was time for business to be conducted in not in the usual way. And I think that leader Stuart Cousins has placed great trust in those of us who are just coming in, and we hope to continue to push what the conference honestly has been pushing for a long time but was prevented from accomplishing under an artificial majority.
Listeners, your calls are welcome, especially from the district, but from anybody. For brand new New York State Senator Zellner Myrie, as of day one, the chair of the Senate Elections Committee. His district, if you're just joining us, covering parts of Brownsville, Crown Heights, East Flatbush, Gowanus, Park Slope, Prospect Heights, Prospect Lefferts Garden, South Slope, and Sunset Park, 212-433-WNYC. On these election reforms or anything else on this new day in the New York State Legislature, 212-433-9692. Not every common voting reform that people generally think of is in this package. For example, same-day voter registration and vote by mail are two changes that would require changes to the state constitution before they can become law. That means the measures would need to be passed by the next legislature, which won't be seated until 2021. How concerned are you that these measures could die before they're able to be implemented?
So, Brian, we actually did include the first step in same-day registration in yesterday's package. As you mentioned, it requires the passage in two consecutive legislatures, and so you know, it is our hope, and I think we're confident that we'll be able to do that again. And then the third step is putting it before the voters. We also, another constitutional amendment that we did on resolution was no excuse absentee voting. That is something, here again, we lag behind the rest of the country. 27 other states have this, and we believe that that's going to follow the same process as well.
What's the status of automatic voter registration?
You know, automatic voter registration is something that this conference has been pushing for a long time. It is something that I am personally very behind, but I think we have a responsibility when we are doing something as large as automatic voter registration to ensure that we do it the right way. And so we are having continued discussions about this, and, you know, I'm confident that we will be bringing this up.
And last year, as you know, Governor Cuomo signed an executive order that granted people on parole for felony convictions, but having served their time in prison and now on parole, the opportunity to restore their voting rights. But it was complicated. People have to know to apply for what's called a conditional pardon, and I believe your bills yesterday didn't change that. Why didn't you pass a more automatic restoration of parolee voting rights?
You know, Brian, the restoration of parolee rights is something that I am personally very much in favor of. And I just want to remind folks that this is day one. This is the beginning of the conversation and in no way the end. We have many days left in the session, and we will continue to discuss how we can restore voting rights for all New Yorkers and how we can continue to push for reform.
Let's take a phone call. Amanda in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC with new State Senator Zellner Myrie. Hi, Amanda.
Hi, Brian, and hi, Senator Myrie. My name is Amanda, and I am a member of the Let New York Vote Coalition and one of the founders of Brooklyn Voters Alliance. So I was in Albany yesterday for the very exciting and historic day to see voting reform happen in New York after almost 100 years. And I just want to thank Senator Myrie for his leadership and the New York State Senate and Assembly. We've been working on this issue for over 2 years. We started an organization just to push for these reforms, and it's been terribly frustrating and difficult. And yesterday in Albany is the first time we have felt listened to and feel hopeful that our state is moving in the right direction. So we are really excited to keep working with Senator Myrie and others to keep the reform train moving.
Amanda, thank you very much. Let's go right to Lorraine in Park Slope. You're on WNYC with Senator Myrie. Hi, Lorraine.
Hi, Senator Myrie. I got your name previously from Senator Cousins, and she had asked me to contact you. Now I'm on radio, so I'm going to contact you. I would like you, I work as a coordinator for the elections, and there's one coming up with the Attorney General, the public advocate, and we've had a lot of problems. I'm a coordinator at the Borough Park Center. And we've had a lot of voter purging from the rolls. People have been voting for years and their names aren't in there, and they're being sent to different districts and coming back to us. And also the computer run addresses have had a lot of mistakes. I brought that up, this up with the Board of Elections. They haven't said anything about it. Every single election has these problems. So what are you going to do with voter disenfranchisement?
Thanks very much for the question. And, you know, I couldn't agree more that we have a responsibility not just to restore voting rights and to look at campaign finance reform, but we also have a duty to make sure that our elections are being executed in a way that is effective and in a way that does not disenfranchise. And so we will be continuing discussions on this. I think that one solution to this is electronic poll books. That is a conversation. That is a bill that I'll be carrying, and I think that we have an opportunity to really modernize how we administer our elections in order to reduce these sorts of mistakes.
What are electronic poll books?
So right now, all of our poll books, when you walk into the polling station, you have to sign in to show that you are a registered voter, and that's, you know, the folks at the different election district tables, they kind of, you know, page through this book. We think that there's an opportunity for us to reduce costs by making these electronic. It'll make the lines quicker, and it also is better for record keeping.
Although that's the form of voter ID that we have in New York State, right? Your signature is there on the book, and then you sign in under the signature that you signed with when you registered to vote, and the poll worker looks to see if your signature matches to see if you're really you, right?
Right.
Would you do away with that?
No, so that this would not change it. Your signature would still be on the electronic poll book for the poll worker to still make that comparison.
I see. And as you know, being from Brooklyn, some of the biggest voting problems that New York City residents have experienced are related to how the Board of Elections operates. For example, there was that illegal voter purge from the rolls in 2016 for the presidential primary in New York. And that's not something that will be addressed through these reforms. These measures don't address that. They don't address the inherently political nature of the Board of Elections, where commissioners are picked by and accountable to party bosses. Why didn't the Senate go there?
Brian, you know, I just say again that it was day one. These are not conversations that are off the table. I agree, both as a resident of Brooklyn and as someone who has gone through elections now and has seen the potential problems with execution and administering it. So I think we will be taking a look at how we can make that better. I think there are opportunities to professionalize the Board of Elections, and I think that these discussions are just beginning, and what we passed yesterday was just day one of reforming our voting system.
If you're just joining us, we're speaking with brand new New York State Senator Zellner Myrie, part of the new Democratic majority in the New York State Senate. He defeated one of those independent Democrats, as they called themselves, who helped keep Republicans in power in the state Senate. His district covers parts of Brownsville, Crown Heights, East Flatbush, Gowanus, Park Slope, Prospect Heights, Prospect Lefferts Garden, South Slope, and Sunset Park, saying that as fast as I possibly can. And Desmond in Crown Heights, you're on WNYC with Senator Myrie. Hi, Desmond.
Hi, and thank you for taking my call. Once again, congratulations, Senator Myrie. I had met you at a community board 8 meeting, and we were talking about transportation. But congratulations on being the chair of elections, and I've got a special question. I see that is the only committee that you're on, and you've got your hands full there. But I know that some of the options that are being looked at would be lowering the voting age to 16. But even if that doesn't happen, one of the things I would like to see is caucusing with the Education Committee, because the state regents and other people have been talking about making the teaching and the implementation of civics much more rigorous than it has been. It has totally fallen off. And as you can see what happened in Florida after the shooting, that the students there fully understood what their civics rights were, and they began to organize and threaten the Republicans in the state and nationwide that they were going to organize and be able to get the kind of legislation that they would need. So I'm hoping, and I know that you are a very young and progressive person, that you would find a way to get that worked in so that there, along with all of the reenfranchisement of felons, also the education of students. Because I had mentioned the students who were 16 2 years ago coming up for the 2016 election, and I mentioned it to two officers in my local precinct, and I said the 17-year-olds will be able to vote, and their reaction was the same. They said, that's scary. I don't want it to be thought to be scary when young people reach their franchise.
Desmond,
but that
only
comes with education.
Let me get a response. And we had Congresswoman Grace Meng from Queens on the show yesterday, and she's actually introducing a bill in Congress to lower the voting age nationally to 16, not just when they can pre-register to vote like your bill, but to actually vote at age 16. Is there any possibility of that being an initiative at the state level, because it probably is not going to go anywhere in Congress for now?
So Desmond, thank you for that question and the commentary. I think it is incredibly important to engage our young folks in civics. It's actually something I talked about a lot on the campaign. I think the pre-registration bill that was passed is a first step, right? We're going to have an opportunity to go into high schools and say, not only should you be pre-registering to vote, but here's ways that you can get involved right now. I think the possibility of lowering the voting age It's something that we certainly should be discussing, and it's not something that I'm personally opposed to. We know that when folks are engaged at a young age, that they will remain so for the rest of their lives, and that is certainly something that I look to push as chair of elections.
Desmond, thanks for calling. So the governor gives his combined State of the State and budget address this afternoon. There are so many other things on the table that Democrats have long felt have been stuck because of Republican control of the Senate, everything from the rent laws in New York State to bail reform, legalizing recreational marijuana, so many other things. What will you be listening for in the governor's speech that could match up with some of your own other priorities other than election issues?
I think as a conference, we've made our priorities clear. I think much like everyone else, we are looking forward to seeing what the governor proposes in his budget. But I think that what we have seen on day one is that this conference is ready to legislate, and we're ready to do the work of the people, and we're not waiting for anyone else to do it. We were sent here to do a job, and I'm very confident that we're going to get through many of the priorities that we've already set.
Michael in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC with Senator Zellner Myrie. Hi, Michael.
Hi, Senator Myrie. Congratulations on your election. I'm a CUNY professor, and one thing I'd like to sort of ask you about and encourage you to work on with your colleagues is for more funding for CUNY. CUNY is underfunded. Cuomo has not been particularly a friend to CUNY or SUNY as far as I'm concerned, and we have some serious problems. A large number of the professors at CUNY are adjuncts. They're very poorly paid. It's a scandal that we have close to 50% of the classes being taught by people who can barely survive in the city. And our working conditions are our students' learning conditions. And so if we have large classes, if we have classrooms where the lights don't work, where there is water damage, there are mice in the class, this has a negative impact on our students. And so I just encourage you and your colleagues to work hard to push for more CUNY, more funding for CUNY when you negotiate with the governor. So thank you very much.
Thank you for your call. Do you have a position on that? I know many people at CUNY feel that funding is going in the wrong direction.
Yeah, and Michael, thank you for that call. I agree. I think that we do need more funding for CUNY. You know, I'm the son of a public school teacher of 17 years, and I think it really is an embarrassment that over those 17 years, you know, that while some of our instructors have had the benefit of raises, that the adjunct professors have had their salaries pegged to, you know, I think the last raise was in the 70s. And so, you know, I think that not only is inequitable, but it also forces them to teach more classes, and the burden increase as a result takes away time from the students. And so it's certainly something that I'm going to be fighting for, and I agree with Michael that we need more funding for CUNY.
Where are you on recreational marijuana legalization, pro versus con, but also, if it is pro, with what provisions for public safety and for social justice?
So I am in favor of the legalization and also the decriminalization. Our communities have been disproportionately affected by the overcriminalization of marijuana, and so I think anything, any legalization and or policy that we put forward has to have a social justice component, where the communities that were most affected are also the ones that will be benefited.
Benefited meaning franchises are going to be given to people in the local community. That seems to be a point of contention between Mayor de Blasio and Governor Cuomo, who doesn't seem to want that kind of local control restriction. Do you have a side on that disagreement?
Yeah, no, I think that what, you know, we've seen the prohibition doesn't work, and we think that, you know, we have to regulate and we have to tax, but I think that the money should be invested, in services to these communities, but I also think that the people that have been affected should have an opportunity to get some of the profits in this industry, and I think that it shouldn't be token appreciation for these folks, but really investing and giving people the tools that they need in order to be successful.
How hard do you think it's going to be to get to yes on that? Do you anticipate that some version of legal recreational marijuana will pass along with the budget or as part of the budget by April 1st?
You know, I can't speak to what's going to happen in the budget. I think we look forward to having those discussions, but I am behind my colleague's bill on this. I think Senator Krueger has been a leader on it, and I look forward to supporting her in our discussions in the budget.
Are you for state single payer? That's one that I think all the Democrats in the Senate in the last term came out for, but now that the Democrats could actually pass it, they're starting to tiptoe away. Do you have a position on that?
Yeah, I am for single payer. I think that we have, you know, the New York Health Act is something that has been discussed for a long time, and now that we have a Democratic majority, we're going to have some serious discussions on implementation. I think that we have to do it the right way. We are talking about overhauling really the biggest portion of our budget, and that is going to require serious and complex conversations. But I'm very much in favor of single payer and the New York Health Act. And I look forward to having those discussions.
Last question, Senator. Do you have any federal workers in your district or anyone else feeling the effects of the federal government shutdown who've been contacting your offices? Obviously, you're not a federal official. You're a state official. But are you on this at all to help people through it?
Yeah, you know, we haven't personally been contacted by any federal workers, but I think it really shows the dysfunction at the federal level, and it is something that we here at the state level and as state leaders, we have a responsibility to step in the gap. And so, you know, I'm very excited that on day one, we showed how serious we were about doing the business of the people, and to the extent that there are folks in our district that will need assistance, we are ready to step in the gap.
Brand new New York State Senator Zellner Myrie from Brooklyn, part of the new Democratic majority in the New York State Senate. Thank you so much for coming on today. Congratulations again, and I hope we'll talk many, many times while you're in office.
I hope so as well, too, and thanks for having me, Brian.